Hello, this is the Weekly Astrology Forecast, and this is astrologer Shelley Ann Teen speaking to you about the week beginning Monday, the 9th of December, and ending on Sunday, the 15th of December. And during this week, we now have the direct motion coming in from Mercury on the 15th, so of course it will be slowing down as it moves toward that, and we have the full moon arriving also on the 15th at 4:02 a.m. Eastern Time. And what I would like to attempt is to do that full moon for you right now, because it is having some resonance with things we're already talking about, and also because it doesn't seem to me to be quite as dramatic as some of the shifting that's going on for the planets themselves, right? So, the moon is at 23 degrees of Gemini when it opposes the sun at 23 Sagittarius that morning. And this is the polarity between levels of thinking and communicating, ways we look at life. So the Gemini energy is the third thing that you do once you're born and you start living a life in this third dimensional world. You know, you've got your body together and you've started noticing your senses and everything. And then you suddenly recognize there's an environment around you and it has other things in it. So this is Gemini. And we learn to navigate, sort of crawl around a little. And, you know, that happens not right away, but that's part of the exploration aspect and the gathering of information aspect of Gemini. And, you know, it's interesting, like children tend to put objects in their mouth, you know, when they're really little, to try to get an idea of what they are, because they're still coming close out of the senses focus of Taurus. But now we also see this as a sign where we start learning things like words and communicating with the environment. And this is sort of a focus on specific objects and wanting to know more, curiosity, and getting as much information as we can. It is a sign of the schooling that we have before we graduate from high school. So it's that you go in and you're learning one thing after another, and you know it's very specific in its movement. So this is the most important thing when we are trying to communicate, which I'm trying to do right now with a slowing down Mercury, and it's your hand-eye coordination, because Gemini rules your hands. And so it is an interesting thing that it is sometimes diminished as a sign. Actually, this polarity is sometimes diminished as a sign. I'm not sure why. I mean, and I mean by astrologers and other people, because if you didn't have it, you didn't have Gemini, you would be still not knowing anything existed other than your body. You would still be there, freshly born, and with no information at all. And you wouldn't be able to do anything, you know, with your hands. So this is this level that we call the mundane mind, because it is all involved, for the most part, with things in the world, per se. But you also now have the seeking of information about things that aren't on our planet, right? Quite a lot of that going on these days, isn't it? But the polar opposite, which is where the sun is Sagittarius. So when we look at a fire sign here, where Gemini was an air sign, a changeable, mutable air, we are looking at the mutable fire quality, which is to start spreading outward from the flame in the sense of shedding light into the room and also warmth. And it can also change its location, can travel. The flame can travel under certain circumstances. We want it to travel, like if we're just starting to light a fire with wood or coals, we want it to expand. But also not always such a great idea if we're watching a forest fire that's out of control or something other that has that same quality. But Sagittarius is traditionally seen as higher education, the university, or any extended studies that are after your mundane trip through your prescribed education in our society, school level. So it doesn't mean if you didn't go to a university, you don't have the Sagittarius expansion. You know, whatever topic has grabbed you in any way, that is going to now be Sagittarius. And what we look for in that sign is an inspiration, fiery inspiration, to expand, to see more, to understand. So this is the sign of beliefs. And if you stop expanding, you know, then you can get very rigid in your beliefs. So we, you know, sometimes can overexpand. And Sagittarius does that really, really well. Its ruler is Jupiter, and Jupiter does this also. You know, it expands things. It's really big. It's a big planet. But there's also the quality of not just the people nearby in my environment, where Gemini is focusing on, you know, your siblings, your family, that's not just your birth parents, but things around you, and also the neighbors or the classmates, your everyday environment. Sagittarius starts casting a broader look out at other cultures and foreign cultures, and it likes to do long journeys. Fire has a little more adventurous quality to it when it's mutable and cardinal, like in Aries and Sag. So we have this desire to sometimes do international travel or learn another language or in any other way study. Also, comparative religions, you know, because this is the sign of religion. So codified religion gets to be a certain thing. But, you know, we go to war over those things. Because we don't expand to see the larger picture, which is what each is saying other than their specific way of celebrating. Sagittarius is a sign of rituals. So different religions have different ritual behaviors. But this is the quality also of judgment. And there is such a thing as law that's involved with Sagittarius. Some people say the ritual of marriage. The actual signing of the contract is Libra, but the ritual of the marriage energy, when it's taking place, is Sagittarius. But also it is a natural law quality. It is the expanded understanding of, you know, rocks are hard, water is wet, the sun rises in the east. It's the thing that would unite everyone in understanding. So it's the sign of indigenous cultures, like our Native Americans and the people we came from before a codified religion was there, and they were doing a more focus on nature and the principles form of honoring. Okay? So we have this polarity. And again, because Sagittarians can be overexpansive, but they also have great humor, and so does Gemini, because they don't just stay put all the time. I don't know why astrology and people make fun of it, but believe me, if you didn't have these, and I can tell you that, because I have them both, you wouldn't have those qualities at all. I mean, who could live without them, truly? So here we are, and they're opposing because the feeling instincts of the moon is saying, I need to know, I need to find the information, I need to look at all the little pictures. What is the way I get there? How should I take this road, that road, or, you know, this is what I need to know in order to feel like I have arrived at my destination that I sought, because this is a full moon. It can be a fruition. But it can also be a separation, because it's the furthest away of the yin moon lunar female principle to the sun masculine dynamic energy. So here you come to that point where you may also find out something, and something that conflicts very much with someone else, and that makes you feel that you must disengage. It can be a personal relationship, of course, but it can also be other relationships and groups and even, you know, sort of issues or even studies that you may have come to a decision you're no longer interested in. So this is what's happening. The sun, on the other hand, wants to express. It's the ruler of Leo, the fire sign, that is about our individual self-expression and our creativity. So this part of us is not looking at all those little things, and it just really wants to see the philosophy behind this, the natural law behind what I'm looking at, and it wants to expand in communicating about things. And sometimes, you know, the Gemini can't go there. You know, if I'm busy cataloging trees, I might not want to hear about what the forest looks like. You know, the whole thing, you know, and now that we have those remote control objects that can fly over everything, this is, you know, maybe what the Sagittarius is doing. Is doing that while Gemini's noticing what the bark looks like and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, in the sense of conflict, it isn't as dramatic a conflict unless you're sitting down at a negotiation table and you can't get people to come to the center and use the facts and also the philosophy to come to some agreement. Now, what we have at this full moon also is the retrograde of Mars, and I have written a couple of substacks about this current energy, and you know, you might want to go there. It's shellywrites.substack.com, and Substack is free to subscribe to. You need to subscribe just to read. But there are lots of other people on there too. And anyway, Mars slowing down, I've discussed quite a lot. And also probably in the podcast from last week, I discussed it. So this Mars here is in an opposition. It has actually passed, which was Venus opposing Mars from Aquarius, because Venus entered Aquarius, and that was a shift from last week. So Mercury had also made a trine in its retrograde. It's coming in to the retrograde trine. to Mars. So we have the freedom, loving, rebellious Venus energy. That's the values that we have, is opposing this Mars that wants, you know, to feel as though it's the leader and people are loyal to it, and, you know, it's, you know, kind of a crusader for sometimes self, let's just say. But, you know, Mercury is coming in to rethink what this looks like, but is supportive in a sense. But it is stationed, because it is going to go direct again on the 15th, and that will be, you know, just a little bit later in the day. So we have this issue of relationship, because Venus and Mars are, you know, kind of all about personal relationships, but also about the desires and motivations versus the values. And again, Venus is saying, I'm a little more open for changes. And Mars is saying, excuse me, we're going to keep everything the way I say. And that's kind of going to be a focus. And this is something where you might find relationship the opposition of Moon and Sun and some difficulties going on. It's also in air and fire, Aquarius being an air sign, having nothing to do with water whatsoever, and Mars being in the fire sign of Leo. So we've got these things going on. We've got Pluto still coming into view with Ceres, who I've written a Substack on this whole thing. There was a triple conjunction when Venus and Ceres were approaching Pluto. And so there is a lot of emphasis on the female, because Ceres is a fierce mother and Venus is goddess of love and female and everything, and their equality. It's still there, right? And so this is something that's really, you know, in people's minds in the United States and elsewhere probably, but certainly here, with the month before the full moon, before the ratification or certification, really, that's what it does. They certify the election results from a presidential election that some people are very happy about. Some people are learning that they're not as happy as they thought they'd be, and others who are absolutely devastated. So this has been quite a year for the United States and elsewhere. Like, I think I read somewhere that France was, you know, in a lot of trouble. And I think that this is happening in many, many other places. But since I live here, I kind of know a little more about what's going on here. Okay. So those are the main thrusts of this. It's not the only thing that's happening. Neptune is now direct. It's going to move out of the Piscean energies just for a little while. It'll come back in to Pisces again, but only go to the last degree of Pisces. Right now it's direct at 27, and when it comes back, it'll be only going into 29, but this is going to be a year. This is the last full moon of 2024, and we are heading into a year where a lot of those planets that we know that have been in a sign for a long time, Pluto is in a new one, will stay there. Neptune, again, takes a little dip into Aries, will come back. Saturn also will dip into Aries and come back to Pisces for a little while, and Uranus will dip into Gemini and come back to Taurus, you know, for a while. So it won't be until about 2026 at some point where some of these planets will remain in a new sign, all right? But these changes will be felt to a certain extent. You'll see some foreshadowing of what it will look like. So this is where we are, and we will have one more lunar event at the end of December, the 30th of December, we will have the Capricorn new moon. And that is going to be, you know, I guess, you know, around that New Year's Eve celebration. And once again, the big celebration time will be in lower energy. And when you look at Capricorn, you can imagine that it could be that some of the festivities will be facing a lot of restriction or obstruction or cold. So, but again, just the energy, people might want to stay home, be warm, you know, maybe have a couple of people. It won't be kind of as big as it can sometimes get. And I'm not saying nobody's going to do it, but the general energy itself will be lower when we get to that point. But anyway, we will be talking about the Mercury direct when we get to Sunday in the forecast. But Monday, things may be a little foggy on the 9th when we get up because there was a Moon-Neptune conjunction at 3:45 a.m. on Monday the 9th in the Eastern time zone. It's all Eastern zone here in my forecast, I should say. And we get the Moon entering that cardinal fiery energy of Aries at 8:38 a.m. The Moon will give us in Aries right now, a very good ride because the other planets are in good aspect. So the first thing it does is a sextile to Pluto at 9:22 a.m. There may be some really big and important news coming through, but there may be some helpful information there. The Moon has a sextile to Venus in Aquarius at 1:33 p.m. So you can really get into relationship conversations about the future and think about new things you might want to be doing, and that's personal relationship, but also any relationship, friends and groups, and you know, it's a good time to have a meeting. The Moon is trine retrograde Mars in Leo until 6:59 p.m. So if you're looking at planning action, during that time frame, you may find that something about it doesn't stick, which is the same that we could say about the Moon's trine to Mercury, retrograde in Sag, until 12:19 a.m. the next day. It's a little bit off because we don't know how things will look when direct motion comes. And Mars goes back into Cancer during its retrograde, right? So it's going to go direct on the 23rd of February at 17 degrees of Cancer, so it won't go back to the 6 degrees until May of Leo, that is. So that retrograde cycle is a long one. But Mercury will get back faster, and we'll talk about that Sunday forecast. Moon in Aries sextile retrograde Jupiter in Gemini until 11:24 a.m. on Tuesday. And this is another time where you can have really far-reaching conversations, and it will be fun, and a lot of adventure maybe is in the mind and on the table. But again, a retrograde Jupiter is going to change somewhat. So, you know, if this is the first time you're talking about things and making plans, even with the Mercury retrograde, it compounds it, it won't be exactly the same. And sometimes exactly the same doesn't matter at all. It's a time adjustment, or, you know, it doesn't have to be a major issue. But if it is a major issue that you're planning for, then you probably shouldn't be at that point. But the harmony of the lights comes in next, and this is the Moon in Aries trine the Sun in Sagittarius. So now you have the expansive, the inventive, the absolutely harmonious flow of the instinct to begin something, because that starts coming in towards the end of the year, even though it's not going to really get going, or it'd be better not to get going until we move forward into 2025. But, you know, we see that our energy is really opening up to the future during that time. So you may be able to see and communicate about your broad vision with the sun in Sagittarius. Void of course moon leaves that energy for us during the rest of Tuesday and the beginning of Wednesday, where the moon enters Taurus at 10:55 a.m. And quite frankly, this is the exact opposite of the Aries transit, because we've got to get through squares to the other fixed signs. And the first one is the moon square Pluto at 11:43 a.m. It's never a good idea to deal with a powerful authority when you're a moon in Taurus, especially about finance, and you're squaring Pluto in Aquarius. Just, that is not the day for that. And, you know, even in relationships, it's not the great time to get into discussions because you're squaring Venus in Aquarius, 8:01 p.m. The moon in Taurus wants things to be peaceful and stay the same. The instinct is preserve, you know. Let's have a nice chocolate brownie and just sit here. But Venus in Aquarius is, you know, like, hey, what's next? What's new? What else can we do? Doesn't work so well. And neither does moon in Taurus square retrograde Mars in Leo at 8:50 p.m. Because, you know, again, this is very different values. The conservative energies of the moon in Taurus are not as in alignment with some grandiose energies, which we do find with Mars in Leo. It can get very big, you know, especially financial conversations. Forget it. Don't do it now. And Venus is moving towards the opposition to Mars herself, so she's not in such, you know, she's not so happy about that grandiose stuff going on. And this is happening exact at 5:46 a.m. on Thursday. We finally get a tiny bit of peace when the moon in Taurus sextiles Saturn in Pisces at 8:55 a.m. exact on Thursday morning. If it weren't for the Venus-Mars opposition, you might feel this more coming in, because it's the aspect that follows the square to Mars at 8:50 p.m. on Wednesday. But that Venus and Mars energy is, you know, not like the McCartney song, which some of you would never even know existed. Venus and Mars are all right tonight. They're not all right on Wednesday night and into the early morning hours of Thursday. So now the moon in Taurus sextile Saturn and Pisces can sort of sit there and say, hey, you know, I think I understand what's happening now, and I feel more supported, and I feel a little more stabilized. And what a surprise it's going to be then when the moon joins Uranus, retrograde Uranus and Taurus. And that's coming in, so we won't feel that right away. We do get Mercury's retrograde sextile Venus in Aquarius, and that could be a lot of fun. And that comes in exact at 11:45 p.m. So conversations and get-togethers or whatever, it's not a bad evening for a holiday event. If, you know, your company wants to have dinner for Christmas or something, that would be a good evening. Because fortunately, the moon's conjunction to Uranus in Taurus won't take place until 2:45 a.m. in the exact on Friday the 13th. But there can be really surprising changes then. And, you know, so it's better if you're not out and about. On the Pacific coast, well, that would be 11:49 p.m., so be careful. People are, you know, maybe going to do something surprising and involve you in it. So just be aware. And we may find that there's some big change in finance, and I don't know. This is always going on. But on Friday the 13th, don't worry about that. There's nothing wrong with the number 13. It's a good number. You have to have one between 12 and 14, don't you? So that's when it is, Friday, December 13th, the moon sextile Neptune. And Neptune is now direct at 7:39 a.m. can give us a very soft, gentle, lovely morning. And it will stay that way. And you might even get some psychic messages about what you should do with real estate or money or, you know, messages coming in. But the moon in Gemini arrives at 12:22 p.m. that day. And it trines Pluto. And it sextiles Mars. So the first part of it, and until 9:58 p.m., is going to be okay. You know, you're going to find retrograde Mars coming as the aspect after one about 1:30, because we only have from 12:22 to 1:15 p.m. for the trine to Pluto. But that's a good time to be dealing with an authority or getting something handled. The sextile to Mars, 9:58 p.m., is, again, fun. Could be a lot of fun with those energies. Again, another evening for festivity if it's early. Or maybe that was the day, especially on the West Coast, to have the luncheon if you're looking at the festivities. But Moon will oppose Mercury, really slow now, stationed, and that's until 11:20 p.m., so we can get a lot of signals crossed at that point in time and say some things we wish we hadn't. Okay, so be aware of that. Moon in Gemini trine Venus in Aquarius. Oh, that would have been so much fun too. But for the Eastern time zone, it's after 11:30 p.m. and it's exact at 1:40 a.m. on Saturday the 14th. So not much time for it, and it's not the best hours for it, except if you happen to be with someone then, which you could well be, or in communication with others, you could well be. It's only 10:40 p.m. in the Pacific Coast, so that's a nice time. You may be thinking about the future, that maybe your relationship goes to the next level. But remember, Venus is in Aquarius. Things can change. Moon square Saturn is what the East Coast wakes up to and the West Coast wakes up to on Saturday the 14th, 10:34 a.m. Eastern Time is when it's exact. Short journeys face obstacles. Maybe it's weather. Maybe it's, you know, just some bad news. And so, you know, we're dealing with that. But we lighten up as Moon joins Jupiter retrograde in Gemini until 1:43 p.m. So again, have lunch. Can you get to it after the weather clears? It'll be fun. It'll be a nice time. And that optimistic, happy energy continues until the moon's opposition to the sun in Sag at 4:02 p.m. on Sunday the 15th. And that is what you heard about at the beginning. But once that's over, Moon squares Neptune at 9:32 a.m. So here again, we might have some travel issues, some fog, or, you know, over-idealizing something, wrong information appearing true, that kind of thing. But we have a void, of course, Gemini Moon happily flying in the skies. After that, and the moon will enter Cancer at 2:21 p.m. And the moon in Cancer is, let's see what it's on its way to. It's on its way to a trine to Saturn. at 1:34 p.m. on Monday. So it's, you know, a nice, decent time to have structure and feel nurtured and other people feel helped by that nurturing kind of stuff. But we have Mercury going direct at 3:56 p.m. Eastern Time, 12:56 p.m. Pacific Time. And we'll be saying yay, except it's not moving. It doesn't move so fast. And that's what we look at with the Mercury. You know, it is, you know, going to have to get back up to speed, and it can take a few days. It might be, you know, a few days after this, like maybe around the 20th, before we get to feel like maybe Mercury's direct. Maybe I don't feel what I felt. And, you know, really getting more up to speed. And then finally, I think it's January 3rd, when it gets to the retrograde degree of 22 and it passes through. And now you're out of the retrograde cycle altogether. So end of December and after the first week of January, the perceptions you have will start being clarified. And this is the beginning of a new year. And if you can give it just until that, you know, just let it go through the first week before you start making firm decisions and setting things in motion, okay? While Mars is retrograde, and this is, again, it's like it doesn't go direct and make its move until the 23rd of February. So no matter what you're doing, you have to understand that it can be delayed, because the planet of movement itself is not going forward. And this is just the way it is, and we have to think it's all for the best. And I wanted to mention here, other than the fact that, you know, it's a great time to get a reading, we are going to have eclipses next year, and the first one is coming in as a lunar, and it's on March 14 and 13, depending on where you are in the world, because it's at 2:55 a.m. on Eastern Daylight Time. And it's at 23 degrees of Virgo. And I will be doing a talk again for the Asheville Friends of Astrology, and that will be the January, let's see, I think it's, why don't I do this in advance? I don't know. It'll be the third Thursday in January, which is the 16th. And I will give some information about that in the blog when it gets closer, because you can just give a donation and you can be there live. Or if you can't be there live, you can get the recording. And I'm busy gathering the names of famous people who may be affected by what is going to be our new sign for the eclipses, Virgo Pisces. And we do have one eclipse coming in March at 9 Aries, and that's the first solar eclipse of 2025. So we've got one more. And then we go into our new nodal axis, which I will also be discussing at the beginning of that talk on January 16th. So I think that's all I have to say, but you know me. Maybe not. But it's enough for me to say, I wish you the best with all of this, and I'll say goodbye for now.